I'm Gloria Ambigay, and I'm with the Diné Food Sovereignty Alliance. Twitichini, Ayanshlin, Techini, Abashishin, Lizathlena, Adishache, Otto, Tomoha, Adishanala. And I work here around the reservation on my food sovereignty projects. So I'm happy to be here.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Pauline Butler. I am the coordinator of community happiness at the Star School. We're located just outside of Flagstaff, Arizona, about a couple or so miles away from the reservation line. We are a unique school, quite possibly the only completely off-grid power-run school in the United States. I am Hanagahni Nishle. Aro kia ani e bashish chin mat otene et hachi ni e dashi che aro bi patoni e dashi nala. I am here at Star School and thank you for having me.
The Healthy Kids Conference happened on July 18th. Gloria, would you like to get us started by talking a bit about what happened last Thursday and what is coming out of that event?
We had a wonderful event, a good turnout. We had wonderful speakers. I just completed the evaluation results from people who submitted their written evaluations, and it showed anywhere from very good to excellent ratings. And of course, that was for the speakers, the accommodations, and written comments were really directed towards an excellent lunch that the cooks prepared there at the school. Pauline might want to maybe elaborate a little bit more on their lunch program, because the children, you know, contribute the produce for some of their meals out there. But anyway, the conference was Thursday, July 18th, and we had began the day very early, and it was a one-day symposium. Last year, we did the same kind of event, but last year was just kind of like an overview of what do we mean by farm to school. This year, we decided to become a little bit more focused. And after having monthly meetings around the reservation concerning Navajo farm to school, different topics were requested. And so the big issue we decided was that schools and farmers are not communicating. So we should try to set up an atmosphere and an environment where we bring the two groups together, because we really would like to have more quality and even affordable local foods for the children. And we know from studies that when the kids eat well, there's quality food, they will be more healthier, they can even learn better. And so we decided to bring the two groups together, the schools and the farmers. And we worked very hard trying to call school principals, sending out letters. And however, on being a summer break, we had a few school people there, even some food service cooks that helped us, you know, discuss, you know, the issues that they're facing in the school program. And then we had a few farmers who showed up, and some, to me, some very prominent farmers. And some of those, of course, are there already at Star School, or they work in other communities providing maybe school garden building, such as like Tyrone Thompson, Sharon Sandman, and a few of those folks work very hard to try to get the schools to do school garden building. And this time around, though, we thought we'd also include the farmers and say, hey, can you get your local produce to school lunch programs? And Star School does that with their school. They do a combination of both, you know, the children grown food and then also looking to local farmers providing produce for the school meals in their programs. And that, to me, the ideal thing to do, because we'd like to go ahead and keep promoting local economies on Navajo, and that's really a nice way to do it. And some people were even talking about expanding and doing food hubs if the farmers can increase production. And the other issue we found, though, in all of our planning and discussions was that many farmers are not business people, of course. And so some of them are struggling to become the official vendors, maybe to a school. So that was the other reason we had brought in a couple of speakers to start building that resource and the connection for some of these farmers and gardeners to establish a business so that a school could, you know, purchase produce. Then we had wonderful people like Bill Edwards with Tulani Lake Enterprise. He brought in a new project called the Dene Cooperative, Regenerative Cooperative. And with that cooperative, he's bringing in farmers, ranchers, even Navajo artisans, and set up a cooperative where everyone starts pooling their resources together. They share kind of like a business umbrella with their EIN numbers, DUNS numbers, SAMS numbers, and then these individual separate farmers don't need to go in through all of that business application process. So we'd like to really try to help Bill expand his cooperative. And the other issue with the farming side was that there's such small production that if we could get four or five farmers in that local community to pool their products together, then, you know, they could provide some semblance of some fruits and vegetables for the school program.
Well, the whole concept of farm to school is that we are able to integrate part of our curriculum, mainly about being self-sustaining, learning from the land itself. It's a place-based education module that we have here, and learning to grow stuff and understanding all the farming techniques is a big, big element here at the Star School. So based on that concept of farm to school, we've actually created garden areas in almost every building here at the Star School. Every south-facing building has a greenhouse element to it. And we also have a little bit, a larger extensive garden where all the students have a hand in planting a lot of the traditional crops, and also just stuff that we would like for them to eat to become more healthy, more health-conscious eaters, like kale. We have tomatoes growing, sweet tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes. Of course, we have corn growing. We have a lot of squash in our gardens. Those types of things. We even have a burgeoning herb garden that we have going, and the students are, it is true, it really, really is true that the students will eat what they grow if they had a hand in it, if they see the whole process, if they know the whole process, knowing that it came from a tiny seed into this huge plant that's edible. And they, you know, they get very, very interested. I have reports from students saying, and they just got some coffee cans. They went down near the farm, and they got some soil, and they're, you know, they're trying their hand at it. We're creating more self-sustaining critical thinkers here, and that's one of the big proponents of farm to school. What I like about what we're doing here at Star School is that not only are we teaching them how to grow it, we're teaching them how to harvest. It's a huge part of our STEM component, how we get to harvest it and process it. And one of the big things that I'm proud of is that we have a commercial kitchen here at the Star School that has been approved through the county. We went through all the steps to get it an actual processing kitchen where they would bring the greens in and they would clean them and get them ready for use, and even to the point of where they can start chopping and, you know, learning how to compost with what's left behind, and just making sure it's a very clean and safety, health safety conscious type of environment. And they would present what they gathered to our school chef, who is very health conscious herself, and she integrates all these greens and our whatever vegetables that we do have here into our school lunches, breakfast, all of that. We have a little bit of blue corn, like, for example, we have a little bit of blue corn meal. We taught her how to prepare it using juniper ash that we actually do make ourselves here, just mixing that type of indigenous infusion into our meals here also. Just all of that, you know, whatever it is that we can learn from, not only from our culture, but also through growing and using the farm-to-school element, that's one of the reasons why we, you know, we like to say we are almost a farm-to-school environment here. All the grains or all the vegetables that we do grow is actually served in salad bars here at the Star School. It's the kale is actually infused into a lot of our foods. Like maybe, let's say they have meatloaf, and it's hidden in there, and the kids don't know. There, some of the kids don't know they're eating because they're still iffy about the kale taste. But they don't see it. As the school year goes along, we find that the more and more we introduce them and serve it to them, they're more inclined to make healthy eating choices within their family. We also encourage. Our school gardener and myself included, we will take students out to the local farms, North Loop Family Farms, with Stacy Jensen. We are working in conjunction with him to help prepare the families out there to help prepare their fields for, you know, for planting and just maintaining, taking students out there to show them what it is, what kind of work it is to maintain something as large as the farm that they have out there. And then also talking about farm safety, farm health safety, and showing them what's, you know, what we can do to keep this whole thing a healthy process so we can transport a lot of the stuff that they will harvest there to our school to process it here also. So that's one of the biggest things that we like to do here at the Star School. And it's also helping the farmers become part of our community. One of the big elements in my position as a coordinator of community happiness, I have a lot of outreach to some of the farmers, and we have four local farms out here on the reservation, the tri-communities of Tulani Lake, Bird Springs, and Loop. We have North Beaver Farms, and also North Loop Family Farms, and then Tiji Farms, which is Tyrone Thompson's area. And we are fortunate to have this connection with Tyrone. Not only is he a parent here at Star School, but he actually does help come out and bring a lot of the food lessons about traditional planting and food preparation styles that he develops, and just helping the students learn about how they can even forage and look for wild onions, you know, wild carrots that actually do grow out here. Just those types of things here at Star School. I'm also very proud of the fact that where we are located, it's a very unique area. We are actually surrounded by sumac berries. And earlier in the summer, I had some students come on out and help me harvest a lot of sumac berries, and that's one of the things that I encourage the students to learn about, and they're very curious as to what we can do with it. So we're developing recipes. We're going to have a cookbook out by the end of the year. So that's just one of the things that we do here at the Star School. And I was very, very pleased to have the First Lady of the Navajo Nation, Cecilia Nez, come out and be there at the symposium. And I took her on a tour, and she said very surprising that a small school out here is able to do something like this. It really helped that she's championing a farm to school issue right now in her platform. And she is going to help, I guess, by spreading the word about what methods we're using and those types of things that she's able to do for the Navajo Nation. And I was also very pleased to meet a lot of medical professionals there at the symposium. They were very interested in actually seeing what we knew about the health benefits of what we were growing. We have an extensive aquaponics system. We're using we're actually using fish, and they're, you know, what they are eating and what they were filtering through their bodies, we're using that to, you know, irrigate and fertilize seedlings that will go out into the bigger garden. So we're trying all these types of things, and the students get really, really interested. So I'm really proud of what we're doing here at the Star School.
Thank you, Pauline, for that overview of what's going on with the gardening program at the school. And it's really nice that the school has been able to bring in, like, Food Corps. I seen the written wonderful curriculum that, you know, they developed with the school staff, and then also even some cooking recipes. I seen another booklet with some recipes already, and I've been sharing some of those documents with other folks. And so Star School seems to be leading the way, you know, for a lot of other schools, and also identifying some of the problems that other schools are facing. Like, you folks even have a full-time school gardener on board, and those take extra, you know, funds to find. And so Dr. Sorensen's been really good about gathering all these other resources to help build, you know, such a nice school. And then all the extra resources that are available and sharing them with other schools is just wonderful. So we are happy to, you know, work with your school program.
Pauline and Gloria, how can what Star School is doing be used as a model for other organizations in the region?
It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of community outreach. It's a lot of knowing who your resources are going to be in your community. Getting someone to champion, just to take on the task of actually organizing something like this. It has to be a community effort. It's a little difficult for just one person to do something, but it can be done. It can be done. There's always, you know, there's going to be some resistance where they want to keep, their lifestyle that they've become accustomed to, which is almost sedentary. And it's a lot of effort and a lot of push to get them to come out of their comfort zone, to actually come out and start learning how to grow their own food again, when it's been, it's been our tradition to be doing this for a long time. But like I said, there has to be someone in the community that wants to take on the challenge and champion this to happen. It also helps to actually have someone in an organization that can be the grant guru, who is able to find, even small grants. Any amount of money will help. We were very fortunate to have Dr. Mark Sorensen, who is our CEO and the founder of Star School, who just happens to be a grant guru. And he was very fortunate to get help through First Nations Development Institute out of Denver, even Nota Begay 3 Foundation. We're doing stuff with water filtration and making kids drink more water and getting rid of sugar-sweetened beverages, those types of things. First Nations, they help with small grants, such as helping farmers sell their wares at community farmers markets and stuff like that. And then also, you know, we went to other larger organizations, like Newman's Own Foundation is able to give us a small amount of money. It's just somebody who is good at finding these types of grants. That is always the first step in doing this. It can be done. It is a lot of work, and it takes time, but it can be done.
I did want to ask about how involving students in agriculture could be seen as an extension of a physical education program, since it is really a lot of work.
One of the biggest things that we have is the fact that we have a parent organization that was really good at making that a priority, making sure that kids are not as sedentary as they seem to be, you know, what with this new technology age going on where they're all glued to their phones. We have a cell phone ban policy. We make sure we get them out of their seats. And one of the things that I teach in my culinary class, I'm also the culinary instructor here also, is the fact that we have to work for what we want. And I talk to them about how traditionally, you know, our bodies were very lean, and this is what we ate, and this is why we didn't really have any instances of diabetes or osteoporosis a long time ago. And it was with this influx of processed food, this ingestion of processed foods, which has just grown exponentially. I talk to them about that, and I get them. I talk to them on an individual basis. I'll talk to their families as part of my outreach, and I'll get them to go. Actually, sometimes I have families following us out to the farms and actually going out there and creating memories is what I like to call it. Making happy, you know, making that physical exertion a fun memory for them. Letting them know that, you know, this is how we work. We had fun doing this. That's one of the things that I try to get them to do is they make it fun for the students to come outside and actually do something like this. There's always going to be a couple of, you know, students that are, you know, going to complain, but it just takes a little work to get them to come out here. But the majority, actually, almost all of our students look forward to actually going out to the farms and being able to get their hands in the dirt, being able to, you know, feel that sense of accomplishment that they've actually cleared this whole area of weeds, and, you know, they're getting it ready. They're going to add the compost, you know, getting the irrigation started. To them, it's an element of fun is what I like to call them. I call it creating memories here at the Star School. That's my method of doing things with the students, working here with the students. And I find that it works pretty well.
And I have seen, you know, every class grade level is involved in the school gardening program. And the one question I have been trying to ask Dr. Sorensen and maybe school staff is that, is it a requirement in the teacher's job description to participate in the gardening program?
It's not a requirement, but we have found that all of our staff have actually enjoyed what they're doing, what they're saying, and they look for ways to do it. Since we are a school that models becoming self-sustaining, it is actually just part of our framework that we're doing, that we're getting staff that actually are committed to doing what we want the students to learn, most especially about going out and keeping the garden in front of their classroom, learning about using worms, you know, those types of things. There's a lot of a STEM element to the whole thing. There's all of that, and it helps them with their curriculum, in other words. So it's not necessarily a requirement, but they do teach it. All of them are hands-on on all of this.
With the Dine Food Sovereignty Alliance, our next step, and everyone was notified about this at the symposium on August 21st, we're going to be doing a follow-up meeting, inviting everyone back to the Dine Farm to School stakeholders meeting. And this is where we want to look at next steps of where we're going to go with, you know, all this information we have gathered. And it was just wonderful to go to a school that is doing almost 100% farm-to-school activities. I wanted people to see that, and Mark was so gracious and kind to allow us to come to his school. He did, Pauline and Patty did tours, and everyone was just very excited, and they were just in awe of, you know, how much the school does all of this gardening. So we wanted to have people see it. And then the next coming months, we have looked at three communities who came and brought their school cooks, They're maybe a school board member, maybe a teacher. In other words, you know, some school leaders in that area who want to have us come back out, help them build the resources, help them build the school garden, and then even help them write their school wellness policy so that, you know, everything in the school environment is going to be going towards, you know, healthy, happy kids. And so we're doing those next steps. And of course, the next big step is looking at the development of farm to school policies for Navajo Nation.
And Gloria, do you know when and where on the August 21st the stakeholders meeting will take place yet?
I just had a meeting with our partner, COPE, the Community Outreach Empowerment Empowerment Program. And we usually coordinate our monthly meetings together, but I think maybe we may branch off next month's meeting because it's stakeholders. And they're going to plan to have their meeting out at Chin Lee. And I was telling people we might have it more in the, again, the Window Rock, maybe Gallup area, where it's more centrally located. A lot of people had struggles traveling to the far west side of the reservation, and then we used to have it at Crown Point. So the logistics is very interesting when we're trying to get these reservation-wide meetings together. So we haven't really firmly set a location, but it's probably going to be around the Window Rock and Gallup area.
And listeners should know that if they search for Dene Food Sovereignty Alliance on Facebook, they can get information as it happens.
Yes, yes. And that's the real central place we've been sending out our information and our flyers and invitations. So thank you for saying that.
Pauline, is there anything else that you might like to share with our listeners?
Like I said, a big proponent of getting the kids out of their comfort zones and getting them to become self-sustaining individuals. It's inherent in us to want our students to succeed. It's inherent in us to want our students to know that they are capable of doing all of these things. And it's one of the big things that we are very proud of here at Star School. And I would like to invite people to come out and check us out. One of the big things that we are also known for is that we are completely off-grid. We have our own water well. We have an extensive solar system and wind turbine system that powers the whole school. We are a small microgrid of power. If you are interested in all that, you are welcome to contact us, and we can schedule a visit and a tour with your organization. I'm more than happy to send out my contact information, that's what I wanted to say.
We would sure love everyone to come out to our stakeholders meeting that we want to schedule for August 21st, and more likely, like I said, it's going to be Window Rock or Gallup area. And we'll just have a half a day meeting, but we want to really talk about next steps and maybe recommended farm to school policies.
And you'll send KGLP information for a PSA as soon as you have the full details for that stakeholders meeting on August 21st.
Right. In fact, I will get that out to you probably, you know, in the next few days, because we really want to get the notice out to everybody. And we all eat. And so, you know, this is everyone's project.
I've been speaking with Pauline Butler of Star School near Flagstaff, and with Gloria Begay of the Dene Food Sovereignty Alliance and the Farm to Table Group.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.